Wanted to have just a short little get together because last night we were going over Saturday. Okay. And I went over my question, if you remember, from the Don Basham book. Mm-hmm. And it was really good because Debbie was not real clear as to the answer on this question. If you remember, the question was, and I want to know honestly what y'all think, because it turned out really good last night, but his statement was, we need to remember that in every disagreement and in every strained or broken relationship, there's fault on both sides. Who's most at fault doesn't matter. Now, do you remember that's a question? Is that true or false?
Right. I think you broke it up.
False.
You said.
Well, I did, but yeah, but they're both connected. So either one, yeah. True or false?
False.
Okay, and you were. And I gave a few examples. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think the reason
she said true and false.
She said true to the first one, false on the second one. And what I realized is she transposed that statement to her own life.
Sure.
And so she was willing to admit that, yeah, in her relationship with Vic and her relationship with Joe,
Alice,
most of the conflict. Yeah, there was fault on both sides.
Yeah.
Now, while that's honorable and true, that was not what the statement said.
Right.
I was wanting to know whether his statement was true or false. And so I backed it up and we went into various different scenarios and we realized, no, not in every disagreement, not in every strained or broken relationship, are both parties at fault? And we went through different scenarios. And then I said, this is how it should have been stated. We need to remember that in many disagreements and in many strained and broken relationships, there may be fault on both sides. And everybody can agree to that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as we talked, and I talked about the rock, you know, his chapter on don't throw rocks and was really the danger of judging, and how that the church teaches. And you can see now Don wrote this about 3 years before he died, last book. But all of his education was in three or four different colleges. So his former learning was really in worldly, institutionalized religion. And it's amazing if you don't have the right relationships in your life, and as a leader, if you don't release people to speak to you, if you don't release people to be themselves where their gifting can come out, as a leader, if you're threatened by people's giftings or by their intelligence, by their IQ, by their education, if you're threatened by those things, you won't really give them opportunity to object. Now, all of you are so used to being able to speak up in our meetings, you probably don't even think about it. But this is something that doesn't happen in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back when you used to go to church, when did anybody stand up and disagree or question or want to add to or
never?
Okay. So I made a statement. And I told Cece not to let it out of the bag, but we started I started talking about different conflicts that have gone on in the body and different ones and different people's familiars, which I won't bring up any names, it doesn't matter. But the familiars that we all have, and what are the familiars? They're our Father's house. Mm-hmm. So let's just, well, like if this were legal paper, okay, so our Father's house, that's what that means. Our worldly Father's house, our Father's spirit, our worldly Father's spirit, which we came up under, which we were influenced in, which is our familiar, okay? And whatever of that we've never judged remains with us as one of our instructors, like it or not. And a lot of times we're indifferent to it and we're ignorant of it and we don't really recognize it because why? It's familiar. It's what we've familiar with. It's how we are, okay? All right. I'll just do a little diversion point of fact. So I talked about the soul. Start talking about our soul. And I've talked about this before, but I'm thinking about just doing an extended series on, is your soul kicking your ass? Because your soul absolutely is the core central theme of your existence. Not your spirit, your soul. Your spirit changes. Your spirit changes. Your spirit, you've had a good spirit at times and then you've had a bad spirit at times. Mm-hmm. But your soul remains steadfast unless you change it. This is an interesting thing. You have to change it. God won't change it without your okay. You know why? Because that is your identity. It's who you are. That, in fact, is your sovereignty. And that should scare the hell out of you if you really get it. That should really scare you. Because your soul has the potential to lead you into hell. If you don't judge its instruction and its strengths. And your heart, when the Bible talks about you don't have a heart to it, you don't have a heart toward this, or you don't have a heart toward that, that's not your soul. That's the spirit and intention of your motivation. That's what that means. When the Bible talks about soul, it's a different thing. Okay, so now I want you to kind of pay attention here, okay, because you won't get this. So I want to ask you a question. I want to read a scripture that Cece, I think, gave to you, Carmi, and I want to read it, and then I want to ask you a question. Now, this is not a trick question. This is just a straightforward question. But you have to let. Do you know what a lawyer is?
A lawyer.
Huh? What?
A lawyer.
It's a lawyer. But what does it mean? An expert in law.
Yeah.
And how do you become an expert in law? You have to be an expert in words. Do you get it?
Yes.
Words. You have to know what words mean.
Yes.
And you have to know how words are used. That's why anytime I've signed a number of contracts in my life, performance contracts, entertainment contracts, always went to an attorney, always had an attorney because they're the only ones that can catch how words are put on the paper and what they really mean. And unless you're educated in law, You just can't catch it all.
That's actually what tripped me up in the first part of the question.
It is.
Was the wording.
The wording. And that's what I wanted people to listen to was the wording. Okay, here's the wording. This is just scripture right here. This is not a trick question. Okay, I'm going to read out of 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So can we resolve from this, first of all, that we purify our souls by obeying truth?
Yeah.
No. No, we can't. No, don't add words.
I'm just asking you. Is that
the seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit.
Through the Spirit.
Ah. Words.
Yeah.
Unto unfeigned love.
That's it.
Unto unfeigned love. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. There are conditions here. This is so important.
Because otherwise we could obey the truth just as a law.
Organized institutional religion looks to obey the law truth, not the Spirit revealed truth.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's why you said, often the first one to obey, first one to say you're sorry is the most sorry. But that's the law.
That's the law.
That's not being obedient to the Holy Ghost. That's just trying to get out of trouble.
So I gave a couple examples here. I always want to give examples. You always need to give examples with your statements. I'm saying you can never purify your souls through obeying truth. That's what I'm telling you. Because organized, institutionalized, worldly religion teaches that if you just obey truth, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's obey the truth. No labor on the Sabbath. Penalty, death.
Yes.
Let's obey that truth. So your child falls into quicksand, but you can't pull them out because that's labor. Your ox falls in, you can't pull it out. That's labor. You're on a journey, you run out of food and water, you run upon a well, but you can't dig the water out because that's labor. You can't pick the corn that's right there because that's labor. Jesus used these as examples.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? The spirit of the law, and what is that? So here's what I wrote. The soul is purified in obeying the truth presented by the Spirit in a sincere love for the one speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not being pretentious or deceitful in your response to them to avoid your guilt or lack of love toward them.
Wow.
And how many of us have done that? We've agreed, just pretentiously agreed, to basically avoid the conflict that would follow if I didn't agree.
Avoid escalating conflict.
And you know what that is? That's deceit. That's actually lying.
It's feigned love.
It's feigned love of the brethren.
Yes.
You see what it is?
Yes.
Then it goes on to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives forever and abides forever. I wrote, being inspirited from above in your heavenly Father spirit, not the corruptible spirit of your earthly father's house. But being in the Spirit of God, the Word, being in the Spirit of the Word, which is alive and has life, not doubt and contention. For all flesh is grass, as grass, and all the glory of man as the reflection of man, as the flower of grass, which withers and falls away. Your father's house, the glory of your father's house, your father's house, your father's instruction, your worldly instructors, all of that wisdom goes away. Your earthly father's house and glory is like all flesh. Your earthly father's house and glory is like all flesh, and like the flowers and grass, which quickly perish. But the inspiration of your heavenly Father's word of truth, and the key there is the inspiration of, because anybody can use God's truth to win an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The inspiration, that means he's giving it to you now. It's now that you're getting it. That's what purifies your soul, is responding to and obeying the inspired truth as it's spoken in an unfeigned love of the one who's speaking to you. Because you value them and you're responding to the Spirit of God as he's trying to speak to you. And our gospel, this remains forever, now and through eternity. So what do you think about that?
I can't stop thinking about Psalm 45. And there's a version that I read that says more than one, the one I could find, but it means this. The king's daughters are all glorious within.
Yeah.
She forgets her father's house.
Yes.
She stops obeying the spirits of her father's house.
Easier said than done.
It is.
Now, what is, you could say, there's different ones that have come to us, and that come to us from time to time, that don't speak the truth in love. They don't, and when I say the truth, they don't speak even inspired truth. They may be inspired to speak, they may have inspired truth, but they're not speaking it because they love you. They're speaking it to condemn you. But what do you have to do? You have to pull the yolk out of the white.
Yeah, you do.
It's all egg. But you've got to decide what part is good, what part you'll keep, and what part you'll discard. And I've always said, is what they say true? Not did they present it correctly. That's, for you, that's irrelevant. For you presenting it, it's totally relevant.
You're right.
And for them it is, but I can grow and I can have my soul purified by listening to condemning truth that's coming through somebody who doesn't like me. But the word they're speaking is true. I can purify my soul with that.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be pure in giving it because they're using inspired truth to condemn one of God's kids. I'm receiving that as inspired word, so I'm getting my soul purified.
Yeah, that's what happened.
But the minute I turn around and try to deal with them because of how they gave it to me, now I'm beginning to enter into a possible transgression.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just saying, thank you, I receive it, and move on. Mm-hmm. But aren't we obligated to tell them they just had a terrible spirit in the way? Maybe next time you see them, mm-hmm. you could just ask them, did you feel a little, maybe strange, or did you feel anything about the word you gave me? Did you feel anything? Because it seemed like to me, you know, you really were using that word to condemn me or to beat me or to make me feel bad. You know, you didn't have to go all the way to condemnation, but maybe make me feel bad. See what they say. Oh, no, I just felt like that was the word of God to you. Okay, just asking. It's not going to do you any good to try to expose them.
I can tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know you've just done?
Lose the Holy Ghost.
You've put them in a position where they've had to lie to you again. Mm-hmm. They've had to abuse you again or abuse the gift again. And which means their soul's going to kick their butt.
Yeah, their soul kicks their butt.
Yeah.
Their familiars.
And we see it pretty regularly with, see, I could use you as an example down there in the little hovel corner in your cave.
Yeah.
You were suffering, and you're the only one that didn't realize that you were suffering.
No, I know.
The house was suffering, but not like you were, because it didn't affect us. It only affected us by some of your behavior and looking at what you're living in and not and feeling bad for you. We suffered feeling bad for you, but you didn't even realize how bad off you were.
I didn't.
When the deer start looking at you through the window, you
I already feel it. I don't even like going in that
room anymore. So things like this is so important.
I turned that down a little. It's really good.
Okay, I'm gonna go check it. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I really wanted to bring up. Okay.
That's good.
So the question is,
obeying the spirits of our Father's house.
Is your soul purified by obeying truth?
Through the Spirit it is.
Okay, but not by... See, that's what we've got to understand. Because religion and the law and the education of institutionalized worldly religion makes you feel pure because you use the word, because you use the law, because you exercise truth against people. Or on behalf of yourself, you feel justified because you know the truth. The fact is, what do you do with truth when it's presented to you? That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the key. Amen.
Amen.